Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, Ali.
I am Ali A. Alumi, your classic nerd, V.
And I'm V. Tran, I'm your comic book nerd.
Guys, did you notice Ali sounded very jovial today? He sounded like he had a little bit more pep in his step.
There's been many things that I've been described with pep, but pep in my step is not one of them.
You know why?
Plus, he doesn't walk anywhere.
That's true.
He has his floating wheelchair.
Yeah. Ah, you're Xavier. But brown.
I thought you were going to say flying carpet.
Yeah, that's what I expected too.
I thought that you were going to go Rachel.
I do not engage in such buffoonery.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. But Ali, you sound very happy. Is it because you have more money in your wallet now?
That's really fucked up. That's really
fucked up. Them tax breaks helped you, huh?
That's dumb.
Screw over us poor peoples like
Ali
me and I.
Ali was a big proponent of this tax reform bullshit failing. I didn't want it to go through.
You didn't want
it? I am on the side of angels.
You are on the side of, if it makes more money for me, it's good for me.
You know, I have endured graciously your accusations.
Of you being part of the 1%?
Of me being part of the 1%. But I will not stand for your accusation of me ever being anything other than on the side of the people.
Okay.
I have always been on the rich side of people. of the ordinary people. I may despise them and hold them in contempt.
But not as much as rich people.
But not as much. I actually hold rich people in more contempt, as V can attest.
But you are rich.
I'm not rich. I'm an ordinary human being.
You're rich, bro. Yeah.
No, I'm not.
You drive a Maserati.
I don't drive a Maserati. I love how I went from having an Audi to a Maserati. Like, everything is like...
It's not a Tesla out
there's
there?
There's like a nugget of truth, but it's expanded to its
we're
ridiculous...
We're in a two-story home right now.
This is an apartment on the second floor, asshole. Nice try.
Two-story home.
So I have always been on the side of the people, but I hold the rich in even more contempt.
Uh-huh.
Because I find there's nothing that I find more disgusting than greed and selfishness. I find it repugnant. When people are like they lack the compassion to the degree they're like, well, I need tax breaks, fuck everyone else. That grosses me out. Like, genuinely.
You don't believe in money over morals?
I do not believe in money over morals. I believe even if I were in the 1%, which I'm not, I would fully believe in me getting taxed more. I am 100% behind that. If I was in the 1%, I would love to be in a...
Are you in the top 3%?
No, I'm not in the top 3%.
Are you in the top 10%?
I am a humble...
You're in the top 10%.
Graduate
student. See, notice he did not deny being in the top 10%.
I'm not in the top 10%. I don't even know what the top 10% is.
This poor bastard's a graduate student, though. They're really fucking him.
Anyone who makes over...
Yeah, graduate students are being screwed over in particular from this tax break.
You have fucking scholarships. You're not paying for school.
They're called fellowships.
You're not paying
in graduate school, for the record. Not scholarships.
Same shit.
But they are roughly the same shit.
Yeah.
I don't see. What annoys me about this is that they're not even trying to mask that they're fighting for the poor people anymore.
No, they don't.
They're basically going, you know, the rich guy who's going to fire you and who's going to take away your retirement, your pension, is going to be trusted with more money.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So first of all, we should note that tax reform didn't actually pass.
No, it just passed the initial thing.
Is that the House passed their version. Uh-huh. The Senate passed their version. Mm-hmm. Now it goes to conference.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In which they basically reconcile the bill.
I wonder if they're going to be able to read it this time, though.
Yeah, no, seriously.
What, they're not going to give them an hour's notice?
So apparently one of the things that happened in the Senate that V's referring to is that they went back. There was a lot of issues, right? The Corker and Flake and a couple of them were like, they're holding out for a while.
Yeah.
They went back and they rewrote it and they had like a 500-page bill that included like handwritten shit in the margins.
Crayon on the side and shit.
You couldn't even read it. Yeah. And then they after doing it, within an hour, they voted on it. So that they didn't even know what was in the bill. Didn't even know what was in the
bill. Here's the thing, all right? You know what pisses me off? Is everyone was giving credit to people like John McCain and Corker and Flake. You know, they were like, oh, look, these guys are heroes. They voted
I've said it over and over again. Mr. Maverick has been, he talks the Maverick talk. Yeah. He's votes party line.
We've said it on the podcast before also, especially with the whole Jeff Flake thing, because he was standing off against Trump and that whole thing where he signed the check to Doug Jones, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, the end of the day, man, like
he's approved all of his appointees. Yeah,
and is also he was all against net neutrality too. We mentioned that as well. But you know, these guys aren't, I mean, yeah, you can appreciate them for what they do, especially when it came to healthcare, right? But for them to come back around and fuck it in a different way, I mean, you look at Lisa Murkowski's Twitter timeline, and everyone in Alaska fucking hates this woman. She was, like, hailed as a hero.
Yeah, she screwed herself over.
Yeah, and I remember because, and then now there's a campaign on Twitter where it's like, John McCain's like, we're only 75 people away from 3 million people Twitter unfollowing. Followers. People unfollowed him, and he lost 10,000 in the first day.
Yeah, like, fuck him. There's so the thing that they did in this tax reform, we should just give a couple breakdowns of the major things, right? Is that if you're a graduate student, what happens is that you get a fellowship, right, to study. The fellowship isn't free money. You work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really bad working conditions. In fact, look, one of the areas where working conditions is still kind of atrocious is the academy. There's a lot of kind of unionizing that's going on. And yeah, graduate students sometimes have unions, but there's not a lot of negotiation that happens. You live at below the poverty level, right, for most graduate students. That's why you have graduate student housing and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But you also work for the university, and you work vis-a-vis being a teaching assistant, right, or a research assistant, either of those.
Uh-huh.
But you don't pay tuition.
Correct.
The fellowship pays the tuition, or there's a tuition waiver, right? What this tax reform does is it makes the tuition waiver, the amount that's going to the university, taxable.
But from you, right?
Yes.
You have to pay it.
So you're going to pay the taxes. And they go, oh, well, the universities will be forced to lower tuition. No, the universities won't. Because guess what? The university is going, oh, those poor graduate students. The university just wants to get paid.
Yeah,
it doesn't give two shits, right?
Yeah.
So that's taxable. Simultaneously, teachers, if you're a teacher, used to be able to deduct school supplies. So teachers don't make a lot of money.
Nope.
And most teachers end up having to buy their own school supplies.
Yeah. And they have to work overtime.
They work overtime.
So they
end up doing a lot of – they end up paying for a lot. If you ever go to any teacher's classroom, any type of supply that she's using, from staplers to all of it for students, not just because she wants to, markers, chalk, etc., that's all paid by them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money that they end up spending out of their own pocket. One of the benefits is that they can deduct. They don't get a lot of that money back, but deductions help a little bit.
Just a little.
They now will remove those deductions.
Yep.
But good news is, if you have a private jet, you can use tax deductions there. Now, that's the beauty of it. After all the controversies of the private jet issues, they literally put in a clause for tax deductions.
And then also, jets. I mean, there was the corporate... The corporate tax went down from 35 to 20%.
This is a common myth, is that America is one of the highest tax nations in the world.
We're not even close.
It's not.
In fact, we're the lowest.
We're actually, of the industrial nations, I think we're like 25 or something like that.
Yeah.
So we're not even remotely close, but based off of that, that's why the tax.
I tweeted Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Because he had said how much of a victory the tax scam bill was.
Yeah.
And when you're just happy because 15% is roughly... 15 is roughly also the age of the women that you hit on.
Yeah.
And they
did block you?
Yeah, well, he got a little upset. Not him, but people got upset.
Did people responded to you?
The Roman followers are pretty intense.
Okay.
And yeah, I think it's what's messed up too is I also heard that they had written... In Sharpie marker, somewhere in that bill that they didn't get to, somewhere on the back page, that with the tax scam bill, if you're white and male, you get one redo if you get caught roofing a girl.
Oh,
like, V, god damn it.
It used to be Diz that would cross the line, but now, like, what has gotten into you?
Listen, I mean, in the current political climate that we're in, I feel like this is my way to success.
Jesus
Christ. God damn it, V.
Like, it's not right.
No,
not right.
Okay.
So we should know.
I'm comfortable
that,
now. Man.
Should know that the tax bill will still. There's still a debate that's going to be ongoing with it, right? That it's not quite passed yet, so people should still be calling.
Uh-huh.
Republicans really banked on this because they, even though they don't know what's in it, what they had hoped would happen is if they had ended 2017 without any real legislation, it would have looked bad. It would have looked like 2017 was a failure.
Yeah.
They're banking on the idea that if they pass just one real bill, that they could at least run on that in 2018. They also didn't care that people were protesting. They stopped caring. In their minds, they didn't give a shit that most Americans, the overwhelming majority of Americans, we should say, not a minority, right? Not like 49, 48. We're talking about overwhelming majority of Americans don't want this bill.
No.
What they were banking on was the fact that their donors were pissed.
Mm-hmm.
The donors had told them, you need to pass something or we're cutting off the funds. So they're going, okay, at least we've secured our money for the midterm elections. But now the Democrats can run off of this tax thing. If the Democrats know what they're doing, they should be fucking hammering it home. Because right now all the polls are showing that the majority of voters now think that Democrats are better for the economy and for the working class. So the Democrats need to run on that message. That's the message that Republicans ran on in 2016.
Yeah.
Is and people thought that and when it came to, oh yeah, she was more, Clinton was more reliable, she was more trustworthy, all that. But Donald Trump was good on the economy.
Yeah,
but now if they are good on the economy, Democrats need to run. They need to hit that. They need to hit the ground running. They need to say, "Look, they fucked over workers. We'll stand for workers' rights. We'll make sure that we increase the minimum wage." They need to be unashamedly supporting workers.
Yeah,
not a timid support, but outright. We're like, you know what? We are not going to allow your taxes to go up. And guess what? That will be the winning ticket of 2018.
Yeah, I always feel like it annoys me because the thing about the Democrats, and I vote Democrat. We all vote for Democrat, right?
Yeah. I do sometimes.
I mean, they piss me off to no end, but I do vote Democrat.
Yeah, I leave votes Republican when it comes to those taxes.
When what annoys me about this, though, is that there is a there's a point with them where it's like, you need to stop being so timid with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like stop being so ameliorating with stuff because there's a point where you have to charge forward.
Yeah, this is something they need to do.
Yeah, and it sucks because, in my opinion, they have this thing. We talked about this before, too. This thing where they're like, they want to hear out everyone's opinion.
Yeah, fuck that. They go low, we go high. Fuck that. That shit doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, unfortunately. In America,
I love you, Michelle, yeah.
but it
doesn't work.
In this situation, it doesn't, given that the opposition is not willing to also play on that same field.
We also should note that it is the opposition that has broken Congress. They are the ones that have created the obstructionism for eight years.
Right? Yeah, they fucking shut down now, the government.
We should also note that as a result of that, though, what we're seeing is an increased radicalization of the process. So that if the Democrats win, they're going to do this kind of roughly the same thing. The end result is that
we're fucked.
And the system that is Congress is no longer working.
Yeah.
It functions more as a parliamentary system in which one party has all the power and you have kind of a loyal opposition that keeps it in check.
Yeah. Well, that end of it, I mean, we talked about last week. Loyal opposition is something that does not exist.
Well, maybe not loyal, but opposition that keeps it in check, right?
Yeah.
Whereas traditionally, Congress is meant to be run as you have one side over here, another side on the other. They come in the middle and something is produced out of it.
Correct.
So that someone proposes a bill and then people propose amendments to it to fix it, right? So the American politics has always been really meant to be really centrist.
Yeah.
Right? There's a big part of that. That's completely lost. We're going to see big swings now based off of this tax reform bill is one of the examples of we're going to see these kind of massive swings in Congress. If the Democrats take it, they'll likely do the same thing in the opposite direction. But, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens in 2018. Keep watch this space. See how this tax return stuff is. If you're a worker, if you're an employee of anything, if you are a student, if you are in the working class, in the middle class, you should be calling your congressman pissed.
You should also be calling your congressmen, your senators, your local politicians and tell them, you don't stand for this Muslim ban.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys. When is Currently Nerdy become an all-Asian podcast?
I don't know,
When is that going to happen?
We're already here, you fuckface. We're not trying to, like, seek refuge in this country.
Well, they're going to kick you guys out?
No, that's not how it works.
If they look.
I thought it was a ban of Muslims.
Listen, they're more likely to kick you out than him. He makes more money than you.
Let's be real. Let's be real here right now. If they ever came for me, they'd never take me alive.
Yeah.
I'll go down swinging.
That's all those damn guns that you bought.
It's my legally. Second Amendment right. Yeah.
You're going to Second Amendment.
I'm going to stand my ground in D.C.
Did you name your gun Needle?
No, I don't have a gun, but I have a boomerang in my hand right now.
I know, I shouldn't have bought you that.
He bought me a boomerang from Australia, and I have been loving this thing.
He's been threatening with it for like
there's
a week now.
This is satisfying, the way you can grip a boomerang.
I know, I like the way the boomerang.
It's a nice,
it's got a good, solid feel to it.
Isn't it? Isn't like there's something satisfying? You don't throw it like that.
You don't throw it this way?
No, you don't throw it like that either.
How do you throw it?
You look like an idiot.
Side note, while you guys are trying to figure that out, like I was working at a convention in Australia, and this little kid pissed me off.
Was he an Australian?
He pronounced it Guardians of the Galaxy, and he wouldn't stop.
Galaxy?
Yeah. He was a little fat Australian kid, and he had one of those hats on with the propeller on top.
You should have slapped the propeller off his head.
I was like, and then he called him Deadpool.
I'd have slept.
He called it Deadpool.
Yeah, like, this is not an accent. You have a condition.
And then he called them Poe Demoron. I was like, I was over it. I was so pissed.
Was he doing it deliberately?
I don't think so, because no one was paying attention to him.
No, he's fucking with you. He had to be. Mike, if he wasn't fucking with you, he has an impediment.
I have a.
He has like a serious condition.
Dude, I have it's a true, man.
That's not an accent. That's an impediment.
Who's Poe Demora?
Son, you have a condition.
No, dude, I have a family member who like constantly messes up names, and like he was the one who was a nerd back in the day. So like he's like, yeah, did you see that CGI they did with Henry Cavalli? I'm like, who? He's like, Henry Cavalli in the Justice League movie. They took off his mustache. And I'm like, you mean Henry Cavill? He's like, yeah, Cavalli. I'm like,
it's... Does he do it deliberately?
No. He thinks it's like...
He just can't he pronounce can't, names
yeah.
right.
So like, he was like, hey, did you watch that...
So he's the walking Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah. He's like, hey, did you watch that Carlos Conduit fight? I'm like, yeah. Carlos
I told you Conduit. Guys, I called a student by the wrong name an entire quarter.
Yeah, you kept calling him Kevin.
I called him a very generic name for an entire quarter.
What's because he's...
Hey, Aaron?
And then he turned in his... His final, and very quietly, he's like, "My name's Michael."
You know, I mean, sometimes
was people, it Kevin?
Yeah,
you know what it was? It's like cause I was grading the midterm.
It was this Michael character.
I don't have a Michael in my class.
That's a biblical name.
Who the hell is this? So at the end of the class, he actually came out because I kept calling him Kevin. I'm like, Kevin, can you please come and do this? Can you do that?
And he responded the whole time. He
never corrected me until the very last day. Last day, he turned in his final, and he's just like. My name is Michael. It's a great class. Thank you, sir. Just like, well, shit.
So sometimes people will add letters that have nothing to do with it onto words, like how they add countries to the Muslim ban that have nothing to do with terrorism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Muslim ban. So the Muslim ban isn't, it's not that the Muslim ban is official.
Okay.
This is the fourth Muslim ban.
Fourth Muslim ban. Okay. Yeah. Good to
this
know.
This is the fourth time it's been attempted.
Uh-huh.
What's happened is that the federal courts have halted it.
Supreme Court.
So the Supreme Court allowed it to go on until it can come into, until it can be debated.
They filed argued. TROs. So like Hawaii.
Basically, like restraining orders of sorts, if you will.
TROs stand for temporary restraining orders. I know this.
The point being that you were meant to stop the ban. All the Supreme Court has done so far is say that the president can implement it until we deal with this.
Okay,
until fair. Here's the thing. That's not fair enough. It's not as extreme as people think it is. Like, oh, those are... But it does indicate that the Supreme Court may be leaning in a certain direction, and that is that they will favor a broad interpretation of the enforcement powers of the presidency.
How do we protest the Supreme Court?
So the Supreme Court is going to be hearing... So there's going to be hearings on Friday for this. Friday, there is a massive protest in D.C., a massive protest in L.A., and a bunch of different places. Northern Virginia, I think, has a huge protest. If you actually go to the website of an auxiliary or the blog and the Facebook of one of them are... groups that I'm a part of, the Afghan Diaspora for Equality and Progress.
Cheap plug.
ADEP. It's the most meaningful plug I've ever made.
It's a cheap plug.
We are actually collecting the information about the various protests, and we will be putting them up on our social media, so you'll have access. If you're local to one of those, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
The other
and
way,
the some of our network will do the same.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, there. The other thing that we are doing, or that you should be doing, is you should be calling your local representatives, because Congress can pass a resolution against it, saying that to protect Muslims, etc.
Do you think Robicar will listen to me like
Robicar will not, but most you can push your senators, because most congressmen and senators, not all of them, but a lot of them have been like, even though they're pro controlling of immigration, they're not pro discrimination.
So what do I call Feinstein?
Feinstein's already against it.
Do I call Kamala?
Call people that your state you don't believe in.
So
call up Jeff Flake.
Okay. Do I have to like
call up John McCain?
Do I have to fake my number?
You don't have to fake your number, just call them.
I live in Scottsdale, Arizona, yeah. Jeffrey.
I kept up with a lot of these people, and apparently the mailboxes are all full already because people have already filled up their
Don't voicemails. Leave voicemails. Just keep calling. Harass them.
Yeah.
Show up in their offices. These are the things, and this is something that I've discussed quite frequently, is that in my analysis, especially as a historian, people forget that what we're seeing is the normalization of extremism. People think of fascism, and I've talked about this before on this podcast and other places. People think of fascism as something that happens in a sort of catastrophic moment.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're seeing is the triggering event, which is usually the last step, right? Yeah. So like if you're looking at Germany, the fire was the last thing that happened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that kind of pushed it all towards the edge. But the reality is the apparatus gets built over time and slowly and incrementally.
What took 20
the culture,
years?
The culture gets shifted over years, right? It's like you spend years demonizing a people.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is something that's happening little in the United things. States. It's the little incremental changes that are massively shaping and changing this country.
Right.
A prime example of this is net neutrality, right? So there's news that's coming out of net neutrality. That's something we should all be deeply alarmed about. Another is this idea that Trump is floating the concept of possibly a private army, not a full-on private army, but a private corporation running intelligence. So these would be people who would be sent out to do rendition, that is assassinations and kidnappings of people that are deemed enemies, and that they will ferret out deep, quote unquote, deep state agents. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This isn't just me blowing smoke. This isn't liberal blogs. This is being reported now that Eric Prince has proposed this to Trump. Trump is mulling it over, and Pompeo is okay with it. Who's the head of the CIA right now?
Yeah, think about it like this: like if you're V for Vendetta, the Fingermen, right?
Yeah, that's
exactly the same. The people who kind of held the curfews at night and everything, uh-huh. The Fingermen are the directly. Answer to the Ministry of Defense.
Or but here's right? the thing. Like, the Fingermen are government.
Yeah.
These people would be a private corporation.
That's
isn't this a fantastic example of American examples of fascism? Is that even when we are fascistic, we still do it through corporations?
Yeah, it's all like even like Donald Trump and his mercenary army, right? Some weird shit like that. Actually, that concept is interesting to me because there's an ant that I learned about when I was going through Central America.
And an ant? Like a bug? It's a or type like of an ant?
Yeah, like an ant.
Okay.
Right?
You Southern Californians
there's a type of relative that's your sister.
I don't know.
Mom's sister.
It was confusing.
There's a species of ant in Central America that's.
An ant.
Keep holding that damn boomerang, Ali. He almost deserves it now.
Confused me.
So this ant does, and they've been known to kill like mammals, like smaller mammals. And what they do is, while the mammal is asleep, the ants slowly crawl on to the animal, but no one bites.
Mm-hmm.
But they crawl enough so the mammal doesn't or the animal doesn't wake up. And then one ant sends a signal out. Every single ant bites at once, and then effectively killing the animal so they can eat the flesh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same concept here. You may not notice these little insects crawling on you, but it only takes that one signal to be sent out for everything to happen at once, and it all kind of crumbles inward, right?
And while this is happening, the FCC is doing its shit.
Exactly. Well, this is what's crazy is that now there's a whole thing because people have been calling Ajit Pai to basically delay
the vote
because there's been kind of a scandal where the comment section has been all pro the vote, right?
Yeah.
So and then he basically told everyone to fuck off and just says, no, I'm just going to go on with it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, he gives no fucks.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit what people are saying. The reason people are calling it out is because it turned out that the comment section was hacked.
Yeah.
So like, you literally have hackers who are sitting there promoting this idea of breaking away from net neutrality, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're living in an era where at the same time that you have bans of people based off of religion,
mm-hmm.
you have vetting of people based off of their religion, you have white supremacists literally marching in the streets. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. They're marching in the streets.
Yeah.
At the same time, you have the internet, which is meant to be the last radical space. We talked about net neutrality last time, right? It was public space disappears.
Uh-huh.
The internet is the last refuge of it. But now even that is being corporatized, where you're going to have different lanes. So you have the freedom of speech and expression and inquiry attacked there. And you got a dude who's literally thinking about putting a private army into effect in the government. This is a weird moment.
You can literally see all the movements.
Those are the ants crawling. They haven't bitten yet, but they're about to.
It won't take. But the thing is, it's by that point, right? I mean, we see the ants crawling, which is crazy because there's a lot of people are fighting this stuff. It's not like people are letting it go.
Lawyers in particular, fucking.
But we're not fighting it enough.
No.
But the thing is like
the problem is that they overwhelm you. As a result, they do so much that you end up fighting one or two things, but you don't recognize it. It's like you need to be fighting tooth and nail. You need to be fighting all this stuff.
It's like people are not, and we see this all the time also. Like there's little things like that, like the whole like kind of repealing Title IX stuff that Betsy DeVos did, right?
We've just accepted it now.
Yeah, no one talked about it really at the end of the day. Right. It didn't have the same headlines as you know, whatever bullshit. And it's the play that they've been employing this whole year. Yeah, they've lost a lot.
Yeah.
But it's those little tweaks, the little victories. Look, in there that you're gonna.
Trump has not been able to enact a lot of his policies, a lot, but the ones that he has been able to do are making structural changes. Like, well, we're not paying attention. He's been packing the federal benches with judges that are going to change our legal culture for our lifetime, our children's lifetime, because these people are appointed for life.
Yeah.
It's like for the next 50 years.
It's not just Neil Gorsuch.
It's the 10 Neil Gorsuch that he's now put on. I mean, all of those people are going to be voting in a particular way. They're going to be ruling in certain ways.
Yeah.
That has an impact on the way that our legal system deals with stuff. All of this stuff is happening, and because we're so overwhelmed, and they're relying on the fact that your outrage is exhausting. They just have to wait you out.
It's true.
But the fact of the matter is like this is where we're reaching a crucial moment.
Well, the problem is you have people out there who just seem to not give a fuck, right?
No. You got to understand something. It's not that people don't give a fuck. It's that there's a significant number of America that yearns for authoritarianism.
It's true.
There is a significant number of Americans. It's not that they don't give a fuck. They love that he's an authoritarian. They're okay with it, but because it's his policies.
But I think a vast majority just doesn't understand it.
But those people can wake up eventually. Most people, it's the people that yearn for authoritarianism that frighten me, because those people won't go away. They want to be ruled.
What's they even worse is that despite our mythos and our mythology that we've created around this idea of quote-unquote freedom, right, within our country, we found a way to somehow create our own weird corporate monarchy, right?
Well, I mean, we speak freedom, but our policies are authoritarian.
Yeah. Whether we like it or not, right, we treat families like the Kardashians, like the Hiltons in the early 2000s, the same way that, say, Britain would treat the Queen.
Yeah.
In that sense. It's like, yeah, they don't wield any real power, right? But we're more interested in what they do, despite the fact that all the important stuff that's happening within the country is going on away from them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and in my opinion, that's what's dangerous, is because we've created our own American royalty that literally does nothing, right? But we focus on that so much that we can't focus on
the what's distracted really going state, on. as I have said. This is we're completely distracted. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, and I don't know if we're going to be able to push back effectively.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, it's like if you're gonna ask people right on the street if they know who was Caitlyn Jenner is, right?
Uh-huh.
But you can ask them who represents their district.
What's going on with the FCC? Yeah.
Who's the fucking Senate? Who's representing California?
Or what is net neutrality? Most people can't explain it, right? This is a dangerous moment. For what it's worth, as a historian taking the long view of things, this is all indicative of a nation in the collapse. This is all very clear signs of a nation and an empire that is well on its way to collapse.
Is this your bold prediction?
It's a bold prediction, but it's an accurate prediction, I think. It's within, and that doesn't mean that tomorrow America's going to fall apart. It means within our lifetimes, or the lifetime of our children, we're going to see it fall apart. We're already in a very clear decline. It's not the most powerful nation in the world. It's not the most economically powerful nation in the world. And even politically and diplomatically, we've lost ground to China, to Russia, and to Germany. So these are just the facts.
So our time is a dominating force that dictates what goes hyperpower on in the world is rotting away pretty much.
Yeah, no, I've had those conversations with friends. I flat out, like, my friends are like, we live in the greatest country in the world. I'm like, I disagree with you that this is the greatest.
Well, greatest is always a subjective thing, right? But we can acknowledge power.
Yeah.
But we're declining very clearly. This is a nation in collapse and decline. I think the big triggering event is going to be the Russia investigation, right?
Russia.
So we should mention that yet more news is kind of coming out of Russia, not of Russia, out of the United States, and the Mueller investigation in particular.
This is the one that they got banned from the Olympics, right, for doing dope.
Not that one.
Not that one?
And
government-sponsored dope.
Within a year, this investigation has actually yielded quite a bit of results. And it's not a year. It's actually, they were appointed in March, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so it's really not that long.
No, it's actually a very fast-moving, also quite affordable. They just released the...
It was 3.7 million?
Yeah, it was like a 3.7 million. I'm like, that's a weekend at golf with Trump.
And Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, it's a weekend at Mar-a-Lago.
That, yeah.
But apparently Mueller's like super frugal. Like he keeps a really tight rein on his charges.
It's really funny. It's like, because they actually spend most of the time investigating, but they dedicate 3 hours a week just to clipping coupons. so they save money on.
Do save a lot of because it's meant to be. It's actually cost neutral is what it's considered the amount so far. So anyways, what happened is that the big news that came out Friday, like right after the podcast, is that Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. It was a huge deal. Suddenly it broke. Like, and this is another example of how close and tight-knit the Mueller investigation is that there was no leak about it. Like, no one knew. This is what worries the Trump administration. Is they're hoping for leaks because it makes them more comfortable. Like, okay, so there's, you know,
somebody's in there.
But no.
We can buy them.
It just surprised everyone. All of a sudden, Flynn was they get this news that Flynn is moving to the courts.
Yeah.
And then reporters showed up.
Shout out to my boy Arash.
Oh God, I love that photo of him
out there.
I love that photo of him. It's one of my favorite. One of my friends is a photojournalist. Shout out to him. Maybe, we should probably not stop using people's names just shamelessly. But there's a fantastic photo. It's like so meta, and it's like perfect for a photojournalist, right?
It's a photo of him taking a photo.
Yeah, it's a photo of him taking a photo of Flynn going into. That's like someone reporting about. So there's some visual studies PhD that's going to look at that photo someday and come up with an analysis of what it means to take a photo of someone else who's taking a photo of news happening. It's like, what is the front page of history?
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really kind of. It's a totally cool photo.
Well, good for you. Good for him.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, there's a weird sense of karma to this. This is the man that led
Lock Her Up,
who accused Hillary of lying, who repeatedly said, and then now he got caught
and lying. Whose son started Pizzagate.
Literally a conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to Michael Flynn Jr.?
Well, the thing is that people are assuming that it's because of Michael Flynn Jr. Because a couple weeks before, Washington Post and others said that the sources close to Flynn were talking about he was really nervous about his son. He thought that his son was really exposed, and so that he was willing to kind of
compromise because of that.
And the theory
they charge him with just lying.
Same thing they gave Papadopoulos. So the indication now is that Flynn is likely flipped, that he is now working with, and all the sources are saying this, is that he is now working with the Mueller investigation. Now, that doesn't mean he gets off scot-free. He's still looking up to 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
So Lock Him Up really came back and bit him in the ass. Just a reminder not to mess with karma, because karma will come back and get you. So the issue with the Flynn investigation, so there's two kind of things. On one end, for those of that are following the Russia investigation, let's be real, that's four fucking indictments.
We have Papadopoulos,
Papadopoulos, Flynn, Gates, Manafort, and Flynn.
Okay. When they do Gates, they got with Manafort?
Rick Gates with Manafort. So they have four different ones. Manafort's a dumbass in this meantime, who's been out on bail, decided to anonymously write a op-ed with a Russia agent. And so they're like, Are you that arrogant, or were you that stupid that you thought you could get away with literally working with a Russian agent and writing an op-ed in order to make more favorable in news about Ukraine? So literally spreading Russian propaganda in America. So now they're like, okay, we're gonna rescind his bail.
Just run back in the jail.
It hasn't gone to the courts yet, but the Mueller's already called his ass out on it, so he's about to go back. He literally just got caught. Like, he did not help himself. He's one of those people that shot himself in the foot, and then, like, the doctor patched him up, so he went back home and shot himself in the other foot.
Hey.
It's literally what he did.
He's like, I didn't need my pinky toe. I'm gonna shoot my big toe now.
And this is Kevin Cruz, who's a very famous historian, Americanist in particular, is the one who said, this is like Watergate, but for dumb people.
Yeah.
It's very true, because when you see these people, you're just like, you people are, it's not just that you're criminals, but you're the dumbest criminals in all of American history.
You called Flynn being next, I think, on the podcast.
I did. Yeah. I did. I predicted it.
Who's next now? Sessions?
I think, no, it's not going to be Sessions. Kushner? I think it's going to hit Donnie Jr. or Kushner.
It's pushing back on Kushner heavy.
I think
right now.
Might hit, you will probably see Flynn Jr. also, but Kushner and Jr. are up
They're
to
the
bat.
Next big ones.
They're up to bat.
Incidentally, bat. When Flynn Jr. kind of comes up, can we maybe go and dress up as Comet Ping Pong Pizza employees and just kind of hang out outside the courtroom.
We should.
I feel like that'd be a very prudent thing. We could feed people.
We won't get shot.
Yeah, and one of his crazy followers will shoot us.
You guys are brown, too, so you get shot.
Yeah, we'll get shot first. Yeah. You'll be fine. Like, yeah, the Asian guy was held hostage. He's a model minority. Asians would never do that.
Listen.
They're an inscrutable and wise people, Asians.
Please.
But the Muslims.
Yep, those two brown folks.
They held them hostage.
That's true. But listen, are you okay? I love California rolls. I can already tell what the cops are going to say to me when it happens.
You'll be like, I love avocados.
I'm like, and then
free shavacadoo.
Yeah, and then I'll be like, you know, I'm
it's actually, an old meme. Yeah. It's a good reference, an old meme. Classic.
I'll tell them I'm not actually Japanese. And they'll be like, well, what are you, Chinese? I'm like, no, I'm Vietnamese. And they'll be like, I don't know what that is.
South Korean.
Yeah.
Because the South Koreans are a good and unscrutable people.
Right.
That is very true. Allies.
Telling me from Laos.
Some Laos. Yeah, from like King of the Hill.
I always hate that about when we say Asia, right? It's like there's a whole shit ton of countries, but we think China and Japan, Laos, Cambodia,
India.
India. All of those. Whoa. All of those. All of
he got mad.
I got upset.
Really offended there.
Listen, I have to defend my Asian brothers and sisters. Okay? What's even worse is now they're trying to take our damn jobs.
They are trying to take your damn jobs.
It's pissing me off, man. So, have you guys heard of C.B. Sapolsky?
Before we go to Sapolsky.
Okay.
Before we go to him, because this is a good news, we need to wrap up Flynn just real briefly.
Okay.
For sure.
So, what are some things that we should take away from this Flynn thing? So, on one hand, the one news is that there's been four charges brought. That is a very, so far, this is a very clear, effective investigation.
And two of them bargained.
Yes. Now, here's the more important bit of that. Flynn is the first of the administration to be charged.
Yes, he was.
Up until now, we had campaign officials. He is Trump inner circle.
That's he was the Homeland deal. Security?
He's National Security.
National Security. Okay.
This is a big deal. This is a big, big deal. This also indicates that the investigation is nowhere near over. The investigation is just getting started. And just today, as we're recording this, Bloomberg came out with the fact that Mueller has subpoenaed the German bank.
Deutsche Bank.
Which is Donald Trump's major financier. A lot of his loans, I think about 80% of his loans come through there.
Deutsche is a fucking shady ass company.
It's not that it's they're shady. It's like they want to know where the money's coming from.
Are they financed by ancient works of art throughout Europe that were hidden in bunkers in the 1940s?
No. So here's the thing that's significant about this. This is why we were talking about that critical mass that earlier, right? Like that triggering event.
Yeah.
On one hand, Donald Trump very clearly said that the red line for him is his personal finances. If you cross the personal finances, I'm going to do something about it. Robert Mueller just pissed on his red line.
Yeah.
He didn't just say, I'm going to cross it. He's like, I'm just going to do it. Shamelessly put out the subpoena, called the records for his personal finances. Well, this may lead to the point where...
finding out that Trump isn't a billionaire?
Not just that Trump isn't a billionaire, but we may find that Trump is now going to start taking steps to... He's already attempted to discredit the investigation for several weeks now.
Yeah, he has.
So he's knowing something has been happening. And he's called it a witch hunt. He says that it's fake. Yeah.
He also implicated himself.
His lawyer implicated himself.
He did implicate himself, and then his lawyer took the bullet for him.
Yeah.
He accidentally tweeted out that he fired Flynn because he knew he lied to the FBI and to the vice president. Mm-hmm. By admitting that, the timeline gets fucked up. If he knew that he was lying to the FBI, then why did he ask James Comey to wrap up the investigation?
Yeah.
That is literal definition of obstruction. Yeah. So here's a couple things to bear in mind. This is my last final takeaway from this Flynn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the Flynn news showing how close it's come to Donald Trump, simultaneously that we have his finances being looked at, look to see a more official move to try to end the investigation. Not just discredit Mueller, but an attempt to try to circumvent him. This will lead us to a sort of constitutional crisis. On one hand, Donald Trump is within his constitutional right to dismiss anybody. He cannot, however, do so when he himself is under investigation or his administration is. He's going to put pressure on Rothstein or whatever his name is, right, to the deputy attorney general to do something. If he doesn't do something, he'll fire him and try to hide. We're going to have a very kind of Nixonian moment of trying to circumvent. Yeah. Watch that space. Secondly, don't sit there and be like, in the same way that Trumpkins are like, oh, you know, there's nothing there, it's nothing there. Somehow the language has gone from no collusion. Oh, well, we have no idea what's going on. Oh, okay, there was finally collusion, but there's nothing wrong with colluding. Colluding is a good thing, right? in the same way, don't also jump to the conclusion that this immediately means impeachment.
No.
Right? It is true that obstruction of justice is the articles, is the terms of impeachment, the first articles of impeachment that was used both against Nixon and Clinton, so that a case can be made now, but this is still an investigation in its early stages. But watch this space. This may end up being the triggering event that brings all these kind of fears that we have about the FCC, this private intelligence service, all of that kind of to the forefront.
And also, you need to stay vigilant. The problem is, I think a lot of people make this mistake that because Flynn pled guilty, that somehow the work is done.
No.
When in actuality, it's really, it should be the sparking moment for us to really start pushing forward with these things. Especially given kind of what we're up against right now.
Trump won't be impeached until there is a critical mass of people demanding his impeachment.
Yeah. And it's just right now, it's a, he's got his diehard, but we're pushing. It's a slow build. It's a very slow build, but you got to keep going. And the driving force is going to be the people who knew all along that he was not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
You were mentioning something about C.B. Dalloway.
Oh, yeah. So
let me ask the guy from Monsters, Inc.?
C.B. Dalloway?
No, that's Mike Wazowski.
Oh, Wazowski.
Yes. Who is it?
Let me ask you guys something, a hypothetical.
Okay.
If I was to write...
Hypothetical.
Yes, if I was to write a comic book...
Okay.
Under the name, let's see, let's say just Kevin Johnson.
Uh-huh. Oh, and hey, I acted famous basketball player.
Yeah.
Thrustmeyer.
Yeah, right, and I, in interviews,
Robert Johnson.
And I decided in interviews to create a whole backstory about me being a fat, middle-aged white male.
Yeah. Ah.
Would you guys be okay with that?
I would think you're going through a midlife crisis, but you decided to have a more depressed life. Yeah.
Would I be okay with you? You identify as a...
If I identified as a fat, white, middle-aged man...
In other words, you're scamming people. You're a con artist.
Yes. Well, no, he identifies as that. We can't.
No,
tell
he's
him.
Not identifying.
No. If I
created an alter ego.
If I created an alter ego.
Okay.
If I was fat capitalist Batman.
Okay.
That didn't fight crime, but perpetuated horrible things that eventually led to crime.
Fought Doritos.
Yeah, that'd be pretty offensive.
You'd be pretty offended, right?
I wouldn't be offended. You're a white person. I don't give a shit. Actually, white people offend me all the time. So yeah, I would be offended.
What is that?
Anyway, I don't even know what he's trying to say.
My logic means if you're white, you offend me.
Except if your name is John, because John's cool.
Yeah, John's are a good name. I like John's.
We need to redeem the name John.
What about Edwards?
Edward, fuck Edwards.
Benjamins?
Benjamins are alright. I like how we only like people who like us.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. If we don't have a Kevin on our list, do we? Yeah,
fuck you, Kevins.
Do we have any Kevins?
If you're a Kevin and you're listening to us, unless you're listening to us, then fuck you. Yeah. If you don't listen to us, then fuck you. If you listen to us, we love you, Kevin.
Wow, that was confusing.
Shout out to all the Kevins.
All the Kevins right
shout
now.
Out,
are,
yeah, shout out
the
to
Kevins
Kevin.
Are listening to this. I don't know if he hates us or loves us.
We love you. If you're listening,
that's
we love
good.
You.
No, we're gaslighting. We're gaslighting Kevin.
We're keeping people on edge.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you son of a bitch, Kevin. If your name's Omar, we automatically hate you.
That's messed up.
Like, so, you know, you can't like go Omar. One episode without mentioning Omar.
I know, why are you so obsessed with him?
Because he texted me about last week's episode, and he critiqued it, and I got upset.
What did he say?
He said, I heard an echo, and I said, fuck you!
Good. Please call out those audio issues, Omar, because they keep Diz in line.
It's V's fault.
Yeah, it's my fault for trying to fix it. Yes, anyway.
Keeps Diz in line.
Shut up.
You, I love that he did that. I didn't know he did that.
That's so good. Listen, you would have known if you were on the, the TSN chat.
I muted that shit.
The shout outs will keep coming, Omar, so long as you keep Diz on his toes about his horrible audio editing.
Shut
anyway.
Fuck you, Omar.
Wazowski.
Yes. So C.B. Sapolsky. He actually just took the job of editor-in-chief in Marvel Comics.
Good for him.
Yeah, because this guy, nice Axel What's-His-Face, decided to step down.
Axel Rotten?
Yeah, no. It's basically what happened was he basically took the job.
Okay.
And a controversy kind of sparked because in the early 2000s, there was a quote unquote Japanese author or comic book author named Akira
Tozawa. Not the professional wrestler?
No, it's Akira Yoshida, actually. Early 2004, he actually became quite popular in Marvel Comics. He wrote things like Thor, Son of Asgard, some X-Men and Fantastic Four stuff. He also wrote an Age of Apocalypse storyline. He got huge, right? And Wolverine, the Soul Taker. There is a lot of stuff that he was creating kind of a huge impact on Marvel Comics at the time.
The Akira guy?
Yeah, because there was a lot of huge Japanese influence, a lot of manga influence in his stuff. Mm-hmm. And people really felt this is great because we have someone who isn't a white male who's writing
for Marvel. Oh, God, don't tell me.
Right? So
no, don't do it. I'm just telling you, don't do it.
So what had happened was...
It was this Kevin dude?
Kevin?
Kevin Johnson.
No, shut up. Anyway.
That's you.
So a little conspiracy kind of went on around that time because they're like, you know, we love this Akira Yoshida guy, but he never shows up to signings. We never actually see him do any like personal tour stuff. So a rumor going around that Akira Yoshida didn't exist, that he was an amalgamation of several different writers of Marvel or something else, that it was just a fabricated character. So a lot of people like this bloggers and stuff started going and trying to figure things out about that, right? And they never really got anywhere with it, right? Until someone had actually said, someone kind of the head of Marvel went, no, I've met him before. We had lunch. And he's actually quoted as saying, yeah, we had lunch. I met him. He's a great guy. He's got this huge Godzilla memorabilia collection that I'm jealous of. which I think is a little fucked up.
This is going where I think it's going. This is that's some racist as shit right there.
He's got a Godzilla collection.
That's racist as shit.
What else?
The editor's name was Mike Martz. Right? He's like a senior editor at Marvel. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that kind of squashed everything for a couple years. Now, fast forward to just recently. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are going on in the comic book world. You know, there's a one of the heads at DC had just gotten fired for sexual harassment, right?
Oh, shit.
And then also, one of the other heads at Marvel got into a bunch of shit because he at a Marvel retailers meeting basically blamed the low sales this year on the fact that people don't want to read about minorities and women.
No,
right? Yeah, so like there was that whole thing. So that whole thing came out, and then this guy Sapolsky ended up getting the job, taking the job, and a guy from Image Comics called him out about being Akira Yoshida.
So Sapolsky?
C.B. Sapolsky, yeah.
That's a very, like, typical white person name.
So this guy David Brothers tweeted about it. Basically, we're like, so no one's going to talk to him about writing all these weird Japanese-themed comics in the 2000s under the pseudonym Akira Yoshida. And so everyone kind of blew up again on it, right? And turns out...
That he was...
He did. He admitted it. He was Akira Yoshida. C.B. Sapolsky, this white guy, was Akira Yoshida in the early 2000s. That son of a bitch.
He couldn't have picked He picked some fucking generic-ass Japanese names. Akira, right? That's a generic name that they give for, like, Japanese wrestlers. Like, oh, we'll just call him Akira, right? Because it's a typical name. And then Yoshida. He took the name Yoshi from Mario and added "duh" to it.
That's just...
That's stupid. At all what racist. He did. But he literally...
He created a Japanese, and this is what's messed up, man.
Just so to be an Orientalist.
For CBR, right, Comic Book Resources, the website, he actually did an interview with them. It was only through email.
He interviewed himself.
Right? No, he interviewed through CBR, right? They emailed it, right? And he created a whole backstory about how his dad lived in Japan, and he grew up a manga fan, and he would come to America with his dad on business trips, and how he learned English through reading American comic books, right? So he created this whole backstory about Akira Yoshida.
What the...
Right? To be fair, he has family that lives in... Sapolsky actually has family that lives in Japan. He speaks Japanese fluently. He actually worked as a manga editor for a while, too. So
he literally created a character.
Now, this doesn't reconcile the fact that some guy, this guy Mike Martz, actually said, I've met Akira Yoshida before.
He's got a Godzilla collection.
He's got a great Godzilla collection, right?
Oh, my God.
And this is what makes it very interesting.
SMH. SMH.
So I'm like, so how did this Martz guy meet Akira Yoshida if he never actually...
Were they all in on it?
No. They very well could have, but this was the excuse that they used. They went, oh, well, at the time where we met him, there was a Japanese translator that came in the offices several times, who we had lunch with, and everyone just assumed that it was Akira Yoshida.
Oh my God.
the Japanese
That's
guy
not was, a good explanation.
Just thought that black guy that came in was Michael Jordan this whole time.
Oh my God. That's if they thought that was out fixing things, they thought wrong.
Yeah.
This reminds me of when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar went on stage to DNC and said, hello, I am Michael Jordan.
Oh, God.
So when Sapolsky admitted to it, he's like, yeah, I was. And then when he kind of asked, when he was asked about it, he's like, you know, I was young and naive back then, but I've learned a lot. But it's old news and it's been dealt with. And he just kind of left it at that. And that's privilege for you because no one's really brought it up.
Yeah, since. No one's gonna address the fact that this man literally created an entire persona, this entire whole undercurrents of race. Oh, the Japanese translator. He must be Akira.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of Asian authors are pushing him back. And like, our representation within this world is already bad, right? Between things like Iron Fist and, you know, all that, the ancient one, all the shit. Like, we don't have a lot of representation.
Did he explain why he did it?
He basically said at the time, in early 2000s, there was kind of this unwritten rule that Marvel didn't like. They didn't want editors to write or draw for comics.
So he created a
pseudonym, and somehow, because he was writing stuff, and because it all got done through email, no one bothered to check if whether or not this character, Akira Yoshida, was actually a real human being. So he ended up getting these titles because they liked his style, like the way that he wrote, they liked that new kind of that Asian influence stuff, but they still didn't actually, no one ever actually met him face to face. And the one Japanese guy they did meet, I just assumed that it was him.
He couldn't have just gone by like some like Jewish name or some shit.
I don't know, man.
Like, I just don't understand the concept behind, like, look, if you're going to pretend to be somebody else, you're going to have a pseudonym.
I don't know why you jumped to Jewish, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking white.
There is a weird
Sapolsky. It's a Jewish name, isn't it? Let's say
the weird fetishization of Japanese culture in general within American culture, more specifically white culture, it's a really odd
thing. Yeah.
Because it's they like fetishize
we,
that shit.
Yeah, we all had that friend in high school, right? It's the white kid that hung out with all the Asian kids, and he loved anime. He wanted to go to Japan, right? We went through this whole thing with the otaku episode, right?
This guy, his name is Nolan.
But there's, jeez, like, what are you throwing people's names out there
I didn't go to school with a Nolan. I'm just throwing out a random name.
Look, I to be clear, there's nothing wrong with cultural appreciation. You can love anime. I happen to love anime. I don't watch a lot of anime, but the couple animes that I've seen, I enjoy.
You gonna watch Ninja Batman?
No, I don't know.
It looks good. You posted that on that page.
But like, I've always wanted to get into anime. It's one of the hobbies that I've never been able to develop, but I'm interested in developing. Yeah. Right. You can appreciate a culture. That's absolutely fine. You can also partake in a culture. That's fine. Yeah. Living in Japan, reasonable. Learning a language, perfectly fine. But when you start to create a caricature out of that culture, right?
Yes.
Then you got some problems, right?
Yeah. And that's I have. So I'm actually reading a comic book called Wayward right now by this guy named Jim Zub. Yeah. And it's by Image Comics. It's basically about an Irish girl who moves to Japan with her family. Uh-huh. And it's them fighting Japanese demons, like these younger kids that have superpowers that are fighting Tengus and everything else, right? Mm. So it's all done in Japan. It all takes place in Japan.
But it's a white dude that writes it?
It's a Canadian guy that writes it. And when I read through it, I enjoy the story. I absolutely enjoy it. I really like the read. I think everyone should pick it up, right? But it doesn't, to me, it seems almost like a caricature of what he feels like Japan's going to be like without ever taking the actual culture into mind.
I feel like they all
right?
do
so
that shit.
So they're able to write all the kanji letters, right? They can show dojos and guys wearing gis and shit, right? But there's not actual Japanese culture ingrained within the writing. And I think it's problematic. Despite how much I enjoy the story, I feel like the culture gets washed over a lot in this comic book.
You mentioned Wayward. I'm going to give a shout out to one of our listeners, John, who messaged me about a comic that he recommended. I don't know if you've heard it before. Nighthawk?
Nighthawk I haven't read.
No, but it's really cool. So Nighthawk has no powers, relies on gadgets and advanced weaponry. Nighthawk's parents were killed by a group of racists when he was only a child. As a result, he has a loathing for Caucasians and only rescues black people. He lives by the teachings of Malcolm X. So
interesting.
I'm going to look him up. It's really interesting. I wonder if thank you for that recommendation. We're always on the lookout. Like, I wonder if this was written during the era of civil rights. Yeah. I mean, very clearly an invocation of Malcolm X's more segregationist, separatist policies, right? Really, really fascinating.
I would love to read that. I'm always interested in reading stuff. And if you're really looking into this kind of this area in terms of the civil rights movement,
right?
March.
Yeah.
You got to read March because it's kind of the most modern one, and it's also I think one of the best depictions.
And then of course, John Lewis himself has a comic book that talks about his experience, Congressman Lewis. In the civil rights, so check that out as well.
While you're there, read Mouse also.
Mouse is pretty good. Mouse is a good. It's good reminder to read during time.
Yeah, read it now of all times. All right, guys. So I know we missed the Patronus for a couple weeks now, so I feel like I should bring it back.
You've been slipping.
Currently nerdy Patronus.
All right. So now No, I think most people who listen to us understand that we abhor hunting on this podcast.
Yes, right? We do.
We're not a fan of hunting.
No big game hunting.
We don't care for that type of stuff.
We don't care for guns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not full. Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So there is actually a famous South African hunter named Thanis Botha.
Yep.
Who was from Johannesburg.
Yes.
About 51 years old and is well known.
Yes, he is.
For going to the U.S. and basically, convincing rich people that their dicks weren't big enough, so they need to go and shoot something to make it bigger. And this actually happened recently where Bona was in Gwai, Zimbabwe, hunting elephants.
Mm.
Now, what had happened was him and his hunter friends went and they started shooting at these elephants that were some elephants were actually visibly pregnant.
Mm.
So shooting at moms.
That's fucked up.
Right? So he shoots one of these, an elephant.
Uh-huh.
Pacow! Shoots at him. Yeah. Right? And the elephant starts trying to defend its kids.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right? And he's close by to the elephant. And the rumor says that the elephant might have started grabbing for him to try to get him away from everything.
With its trunk?
From the kids, yeah. So the guys that were with both actually shot the elephant dead.
What? Mm.
But at one final fuck you, the elephant fell on top of both and killed him.
Oh,
yeah. Shit.
If you're going to die, you're going to take everyone with you.
Zimbabwe elephant.
It's the way to do it.
You know, I've noticed his last Patronus story was like a fox that like the guy shot and the fox somehow ended up coming back from the grave and killing him before he died.
That's not how the story went in any way, shape, or form.
The only
thing that you got accurate was that there was some type of creature there.
It wasn't a zombie fox?
Nope.
No.
What was it?
You moron.
The guy ended up shooting himself.
Oh, no, the fox. He was trying to butt the fox with the butt of his
gun.
And the fox shot him.
The fox didn't shoot him.
I choose to believe that the fox shot him.
The gun shot himself in the face.
It was the zombie fox that came back from the grave and shot him.
I choose to believe that the fox shot him.
I'm just surprised how much of that short story you managed to get wrong.
I know, literally. It was like a 45-second story.
Yes, so what were you trying to say?
That's what I'm saying. He's just always bringing these creatures. V finds literal animals to be our Patronuses. When he was using the offensive term, he found people, right? Gilberto Escamilla with his fajita train or whatever the fuck it was.
Man, that guy was great.
Yeah, that guy was great.
He finds
fajita scam is like, that's a good one.
Gilberto was a good man. And now it's all these animals. Right?
Why are you? You're upset that we're not bringing more animals.
It's just when we can't use that word that had animals in it.
Isn't a Patronus an animal in the movie?
I know, but when you were using animals as the lingo, it was people. Now that you're using Patronus, now it's animals. It's confusing to me, V. You keep getting these animals.
Well, if you're confused, you should see our faces right now because I don't know what the fuck you just said.
I don't either.
It's all right, late,
guys.
On that note, Diz, take us out.
Yes, find us on the Facebook, facebook.com.
He's getting taken out.
By Patronus/CurlyNerdy. It's facebook.com/CurlyNerdy. That's where the slash left off.
Oh, wow.
Go on there. Like
what
us.
What the fuck did you just say?
Yeah, no, what did you just say?
Because I was like, I said,
never just mind. Continue.
Yeah, we're on the tweets, CurlyNerdy on the Twitter, Instagram, CurlyNerdy there, Tumblr, CurlyNerdy.tumblr.com. We're on the iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. 5-star ratings, motherfuckers. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. I'm also releasing a new blog specifically about travel called 7Crossroads. It's the number 7Crossroads.com. Elite.
You can catch me on my website at aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com. You can also find me on my social medias, Twitter and Instagram, at aaolomi, Twitter to see my analysis of the world, and Instagram to see the peek behind the curtain of what historians do. Or on our sister podcast, Head on History. You can just look it up on Stitcher or on iTunes. Head on History. My last week's episode was on the historical Muhammad, and it is blowing up. It's a very exciting podcast.
Muhammad.
Yeah, people were really digging that episode, so check that episode out. Diz.
My OK Cupid name is
nope.
Dizbola.
Nope.
My
OK Cupid.
Ow! You can't assault me on air.
You fish for hoes.
That's what?
Isn't that what one of them is called?
Plenty of fish.
No, one is called fish for hoes or something like
What's
that.
What's fish for hoes?
I don't know. I saw it on Instagram.
This is a new one?
What?
I saw it on Instagram. Someone's like,
I gotta get on this. Yeah,
wait, you're the one that's supposed to know about
it. Apparently, it's more it's hookup oriented.
Yeah. Or what is the term on Instagram? Thirstmonger or whatever it is?
Thirstmonger. Thirst trap. I don't know, man. Yeah, but you can find me on my social media.
It's an offensive term, but that's what the name of the app was. I've heard out of here.
It's Dizbulla. D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-A-H.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you fucking hit me with a boomerang, you bastards.